Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. He is worthy, amen. I know some of us are going through some severe trials. God is faithful. I don't know how long, you know, the trial lasts. I know this, man, that if I knew, like, if I could just grin and bear it, you know, for two more weeks, if I knew the sun was going to break in 2 weeks, you know, if we knew the end of these things, it'd be a lot easier. You know, but we don't, but God does, you know, and he is faithful. So hang on to him when nothing else makes sense. When your heart just hurts, man, sometimes our heart just gets heavy. Things happen, man, in this world, you know. Good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to, you know the deal. You know, we live in this world where there's sin and death, and we're affected by those things. But we focus and we stand on what we know and what is true, because we don't understand everything. But we know that God is faithful. And we know that he's here with us, and that he does what he, please don't take this the wrong way if your heart is broken this morning, but some way, somehow, he wants to take these ashes and make something beautiful out of it, you know, and he can do that, you know. So I just speak life and encouragement in the mighty name of Jesus. I have nothing to offer you other than the most wonderful, precious thing in the world. And that is Jesus Christ, because if he indwells your heart, he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And a matter of fact, in these tough times, you know, he rushes to the scene. He sticks closer to us than a brother. He's close to the brokenhearted. Nobody likes to sign up for the brokenhearted club. No, we don't sign up for that club. And Jesus never says you're not going to be brokenhearted, but he says, I'm close to you. I'm here for you. And he is my church friends, my beloved. He is definitely here for us. So I just wanted to say that. And if you could, turn to John 21, John chapter 21. We're going to read about six or seven verses. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read the meat of our text this morning. And we'll just take it from there. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by the kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw, it sounds like a lot. Now we're going to go kind of fast, if you're good. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So that's where we're at today, and that is a lot of text, but a lot of it is just kind of recap. But this is super, super been feeding me, guys, and I want us to be blessed. I want us to be encouraged. And if you're not saved, I want you to leave here saved. That's the most important thing. So here we are, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. First of all, let's look at Mark 14:28. It's on your bulletin. It's right here on your monitor. Now, Jesus told his disciples, this is what he told his disciples in the same conversation when he told Peter, hey, Pete, settle down, bro. You are going to betray me three times before the rooster crows. During that same conversation, this is what Jesus tells his disciples. Mark 14:28. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Okay. Now, Peter is kind of our main topic. I mean, he's not our main topic, but he's our main character kind of in our journey today. Now, I want you guys to remember this. Where did Jesus first meet Peter, Simon Peter, on the Sea of Galilee. Remember, Peter was a fisherman. That was his old trade. That was his old way of life. But Jesus right here, before his betrayal, says, after all this, I'm going to meet you guys back in Galilee. Mark 16 and verse 7. This is directly after the resurrection, when the Marys and Salome are at the empty tomb, and an angel speaks to them. Mark 16 and verse 7. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. That's important. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. So we're talking about the resurrected Christ telling these guys, more than just these two instances, he says, I'm going to see you guys in Galilee. Now, we got to remember that Peter has just denied Jesus three times, okay? Peter's in a weird state of mind. He doesn't quite know where he sits with Jesus. Well, we can say that he's kind of been going through a backslidden type of thing here. He's just a mess. Now, Jesus has already met with the disciples a couple times in Jerusalem as our risen Savior. Now they're in Galilee, and this is where we're gonna pick up. But look real fast with me again at Mark 16 and verse 7. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. Peter is singled out. Okay, this just shows God's tender love and mercy and grace that he has for Peter. But Peter is our example. You know, how many times have we denied Christ? How many times have we stood silent when someone was mocking our Lord and Savior? And how many times have we decided that I'm going to just fit in and conform to this world? I'm just going to stay in my comfortable situation. So we can certainly relate to this, but we see how Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, not only keeps his word to meet with the disciples, but he's searching out Peter as the individual. Not to browbeat him, not to say, hey, see, I told you, man, I told you just how I said it, Pete, three times, cock-a-doodle-doo. We looked at each other. Remember? He that wasn't what it was all about. Anyways, God says, I'm going to see you in Galilee. Jesus Christ says, I will see you in Galilee. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of moving kind of fast, but there's a lot of good stuff that we're going to glean out of this, and we'll take some nice breaks and whatnot. Excuse me. Thank you, sweetheart. So let's go to our main text, John 21 right there. Let's look at verse 15. Now, okay, well, let me give you a little bit of this story. And story time's fun, right? So here we go. The disciples are at the Sea of Galilee. Peter says, you know what, guys? I'm going fishing. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go back to the old thing. Well, all's fails, man, that boat's looking pretty good out there. I'm going to go get on that boat. Maybe he knew the owner of the boat. Maybe his family on the boat. I don't know. But he gets on this boat. The other disciples go along with him. They fish all night long, which is what they would do back then. It was brutally hot, you know, so they would fish at night. The whole night was unproductive. They didn't catch anything. As the sun's coming up, they hear this voice from the shore. Hey, did you guys catch any fish? I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Hey, did you guys catch any fish? And they're like, no, we didn't catch any fish. Jesus, it's Jesus. Let's throw the net on the other side. They do. They catch a bunch of fish. They realize, oh, my gosh, that's Jesus. So they rush to the shore. Jesus has got a campfire going, a little fire going. He's like, hey, bring some of those fish. Let's have a nice fish breakfast. Doesn't sound too good to me for breakfast, but it's another time, another culture, whatever. It's neither here nor there, but they're having fish for breakfast. And so you wonder, so just one of these really neat little tidbits, you know. So when I get to heaven, can I eat? Are we going to be eating? What is this big marriage supper? What's that going to be about? Yeah, I don't know about all that stuff, but I do know this, that Jesus Christ, who is in his glorified body, is partaking in some food. So that's one thing we get to look forward to, right? Yeah, that's kind of cool. That's awesome, man. Hey, we all like eating, right? Yeah, it's fun. But how about you eat and you don't have to check your sugars, you know? You know, how about them apples, huh? Yeah. Or you're like, no. John the Baptist, I can't have any. No, swimming time. Okay, so anyways, moving forward, and I'm sorry about that. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? So real fast, let's talk about this just for a tiny little second. There's been this huge debate. What is he talking about? Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Is he saying, Simon, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Maybe he's saying that. Is he saying, what's the other one? Or do you love me more than you love the other disciples? Yeah, he might be saying that too. This is kind of the way I lean. It just kind of makes more sense to me. And it could be all of the above, you know. But Jesus always used his surroundings when he was preaching or talking to somebody as an example. And, you know, remember, he met Peter on the Sea of Galilee. Peter was a fisherman. Peter had just got back from a pretty much unproductive night of fishing up until he ran back into Jesus. You know, he's kind of getting back into his old way of doing things. And matter of fact, as Jesus talks to him in these three verses, three times he calls him Simon, son of John, or Simon, son of Jonah, depending on the Bible you have. But he's calling Peter out like, Peter, you're acting like how you were before we met, you know, before I changed your life. You're kind of at a crossroads here. You're going back to your old way of life. So he might be saying, Peter, do you love me more than these? And you can, you know, kind of picture in your mind the waves crashing, the smell of the sea. When I think about Seattle and different places that are important to me, one of the things that I always think about is the smell of the water, you know. And I can kind of picture Pete and Jesus walking along the shoreline and, you know, the water crashing, the boats kind of rocking in the surf, the nets and the seagulls and all that. And he's like, Peter, I know this is important to you. I know this is a big part of your life, but do you love me more than these? And I could be completely wrong, but it doesn't matter. The sentiment is the same. Peter, what's the most important thing in your life? That's what he's asking him. Bottom line, Peter, where are we at, man? You know, what's going on, bro? Okay, y'all with me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved. I get that. Does that make sense to you why Peter would be a little grieved? He's already in this weird state of mind. He already knows that he's done wrong, that he has denied his risen Savior three times, and Jesus has just asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? He's reinstating Peter, saying, Peter, if you want this life that I've got planned out for you, it ain't the easy road, brother. Or you can go back this way, but it's going to be unproductive. It's going to be unfulfilling because you know that I've called you. And that goes for each and every one of us. God has called us by name to be his servants. He's saying, Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. Peter, if you love me, be my servant, be my shepherd. I'm in charge, you're under me, and I want to use you, Peter, to encourage the other disciples. I want you to spread the gospel. I want people to see my love and my grace and my mercy through you, okay? But I'm not going to force you to do anything, Peter. And Jesus, and Peter's like, I love you. You know that I love you. And so the story continues. Let me have some of this water. I get it, man, why Peter was grieved, you know. So anyways, let me finish this. Because he said to him a third time, do you love me? This is important. And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. Think about that for a second. Peter knows this all too well. You know what's in my heart. You know the things I've done. You know the things I've thought about. You know the things I've said. You know how I honestly feel about you. You know, I can't hide nothing from you. You know the truth of the situation. And I want us to think about that. You know, King David said, I'm going to paraphrase. King David said, it doesn't matter where I go. Your presence is there. You know, God sees everything. God looks at our heart. We can fool our church buddies. We can fool our neighbors. We can fool our mates. We can fool ourselves even sometimes. But we're not fooling him. You know, and God is asking Peter, search your heart, man. Let me help you search your heart. Let's see where you're at. I've got some great things in store for you. It's not always going to be candies and roses and rainbows. And that's a song I'm working on. It's not always going to be candy. No, I'm playing. It might work, though. I'll get with James on it. Please forgive me. It could be a good one. Okay, he's saying, search your heart, Peter. What's going on, man? Because God knows. Jesus knows. So he's inviting us. Search your heart. What is the most important thing to you, Vincent Raffield? What is the most important thing to you, Shannon? What is the most important thing to you, Paul? Because there's all these distractions. There's the waves, the surf, the seagulls, the fishing, you know, the old way of life. And you know, oh, the old way of life certainly looks good sometimes, but that's a trap, that's a lie. You know, we look back and for some reason, our mind focuses not so much on the painful stuff, because man, that old world, there was so much betrayal and just all kinds of craziness. But when I think about the old days, I think around sitting around the fire acting like an idiot, you know, doing all that. Hey, that wasn't so bad. No, man, that's a mess. You would never feel at home back there again, you know? It's a trap. Just like, never mind. Okay. Anyways, moving forward, let's go to the next slide. We're in a new text now, but I wanted to go over that because God is asking us all, search your hearts. What's the most important thing to you? And we see that beautifully played out with this discussion on the beach. Jesus and Peter are walking down the beach. And yeah, it's a tender thing that's going on here. And of course, Peter is grieved. But Jesus is being so tender and so merciful, and he's just showering with his love. And sometimes it does kind of hurt us when we look at our lives and see how we've done wrong, you know? Okay, so anyways, Peter says, you know that I love you. You know I do. John 21, 18. This is Jesus talking now. John 21, 18 and 19. We'll do 18 first, obviously. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Verse 19, this he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. So Jesus is kind of, you know, here's the thing about scripture, guys. Here's the thing, Brother Dalton, is Jesus just lays it all out there. The scripture just lays it all out there. You're not going to be everybody's best friend once you accept Christ. It's not going to be the easy road. Not everybody's going down it. There, you will certainly have God's correction in your life because you are now in his family and he's a loving father. Correction doesn't feel good, but that's what loving parents do. They want to raise mature children and they want to raise us into mature young men and women. So we're going to go through that. We're going to go through the same storms that anybody else will go through, but we're also going to have different trials and tribulations that God allows us to go through as his children, you know, and we don't always have to understand it. Matter of fact, like I was saying, we're not always going to understand it, but we focus and stand on what we do understand. My God is faithful. My God is with me. My God, so on and so forth. But Peter, let me just lay it out for you. I want you to follow me. This is the path that I've picked out for you, okay? This is what I got in store for you, okay? I'm gonna let you in on some of this tough stuff real fast, okay? When you were young, you did whatever you wanted to do, okay? But there's gonna come a time when you're gonna be thrown in prison, and you're going to lay down your life because you serve me. But let's jump back and let's talk about this real fast. He says, when you were young, you did whatever you wanted to do. And I can certainly relate to that, talking about the old way of life. You know, before Jesus, you kind of just did whatever you wanted to do. You know, I'm not saying you didn't have curfews and jobs and stuff like that, obviously. What I'm saying is you felt like you were your own master. But you were really serving Satan. You realize that? That's what we were doing. We were serving Satan. And so back in that old world, we can look back and we can be like the children of Israel after they left Egypt, after they were delivered out of slavery and out of bondage, after all those years, and they come into the wilderness, and the foreign rabble that was with them begin to grumble and complain about how awesome and amazing Egypt used to be. But what is the foreign rabble? Foreign rabble was this group of Egyptians that left with the Israelites. They're like, Egypt was kind of turned upside down with all the plagues and everything. And they talk about crazy times in the old hometown. Some of the guys just left with the Israelites. Some of them were amazed by this God that they served. So for whatever reason, there was a group of Egyptians that left and were hanging out with the Israelites. Well, it didn't take long before the Egyptians, or this foreign rabble, begin to gripe and complain. Man, Egypt was all right, man, you know. And so the Israelites, grumbling and complaining, if you don't know, man, it is infectious. I'll tell you what, man, it'll catch so fast around a dinner table. You start talking bad about somebody or bad about something, it's like, yeah, man, it's crazy, man. That is a hardcore trick of the devil, tool of the devil. And I've more than once, I'm sad to say, have bitten down on that apple. I'm working on it. Look at your neighbor and say, he's working on it. Amen. So any old hoot and holler, the Israelites begin to grumble and complain, start to think about the old days. Oh, man, we had it all right. It was all right. Man, it was not all right. It was horrible. They were slaves, man. They were under the control of the Pharaoh. And remember when Moses was a baby, they were ordered to throw their male babies into the Nile to feed the crocodiles. Yeah, it was all right. It wasn't so bad. You win some, you lose. Yeah. We look back on the old way, but there's nothing there for us. And we need to understand that. So let me read Romans 6 and verse 20. Is everybody okay? Talking about that old way of life. Romans 6 and verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, and that's what we were. That's what we were. We were slaves to sin. There's some sins that, didn't interest you. Wasn't anything to worry about. But there was some sins, man, that you could not get away from. You were going to do it, and that's just how it was. That's because we were slaves to sin. Amen? For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You weren't worried about doing the right thing back then. You had your own little code. This is what I do. You couldn't even live up to your own code. Can I get a witness? Look at Romans 5 and verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Man, I love that verse so much. While we were still weak. We were powerless over that sin life. There were some things that we just could not turn away from. The NIV says it like this. When we were still powerless. And that's kind of how it was, man. That's how it was. There, when that phone rang, that sin phone rang, I use this analogy all the time. It's horrible. I got to think of a new one. When the sin phone rings, whatever. Yeah, man, we were bound by sin. That's what the old way of life was, okay? And I'm saying that as Christians, Paul Rott, and all of us as Bible-believing Christians, we need to realize that, and we need to sell out to the Lord. We need to stop straddling the fence. I'm sure that we all do it some way, shape, or form. Can I get a witness? Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but that's the old way. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Now notice Jesus, they're walking on the beach, and Jesus says, someone's gonna stretch out your hands, man. Okay, so Bible history, no, let me say this the correct way. Church history has it to where Peter was crucified, just like Jesus, except he was so in love with Jesus and had so much respect for Jesus that he insisted to not be crucified or die the exact same way that his Lord and Savior did. So the Romans obliged him and crucified him upside down. That's what church history says. That's not in the Bible. But it is clear that Jesus is telling him, you're going to suffer. And you're going to lay down your life. You're going to go through some hard, hard times because you're going to follow me. Okay, but this is the road that is picked out for you. And see, we have that choice, man. We can go down the easy road. It's not going to be productive. It's not going to bring forth life. Even if you're one of these fancy boys and you die in your fancy house or your fancy bed, one of them beds that you can control, like with the remote control and all that. You know, you got all the fancy stuff and everything. You got $80 in your wallet. You're just sitting pretty, man. You know, you got your ducks in a row. Well, you don't really have your ducks in a row, because if you don't have Jesus Christ, it's all worthless. Even if you have a mountain of money for people to fight over when you're gone, what good is that to you? You're not taking any of it with you. You know what I mean? So we see that road. We see that easy road. And Jesus Christ says, man, you need to follow me down this straight and narrow. It ain't the easy road, but it's the road for you. Amen. Can I get a witness? Yeah. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Look at Matthew 16 and 24. Like I was saying a minute ago, or a few minutes ago, Jesus never hides this fact, or Scripture never hides this fact, that the Christian road is not the easy road. You know what I mean? Okay, look at Matthew 16, 24. This is what Jesus told his disciples well before Jesus' crucifixion. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, that's us, we are followers of Christ. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Peter, you're going to have to deny yourself some things, man. You got to be sold out to me. You got to be committed to me. You got to go where I lead. You got to follow me. Come after me. Let him deny himself, listen, and take up his cross and follow me. That's what Jesus tells us, man. He says, if you want to be my servant, you got to be willing to take up that cross daily. You got to be willing to deny yourself daily, to be obedient to me. And let me just say this out there, if you're thinking, you know, like I used to think, God's not trying to steal your fun. He's trying to keep you safe. He's not trying to rain on your parade, all right? He's trying to keep you safe. Come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's like when you see your kid dancing around in the street. I don't know if your kids dance around in the street, but I'm playing. My kids don't do that. But if you saw your kid running around the street, what are you going to do? You'll say, get out of the street. You'll get hurt. You're going to do that because you love them. You love them, right? Okay, so Jesus ain't hiding anything. He said, this is a hard road, man. You got to be willing to follow me even if it costs your life. Okay? So y'all with me so far? All right. Tell the truth. Let's go to the next slide. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right, Miss Denise? Amen. Okay, where are we at? Okay. Good. 21:19. This he said. So, Paul, how do you know he's talking about Peter's death? He's talking about that. Stretch out his arm, someone's going to dress you. That could mean he's an old man in a nursing home and they're taking him to dinner time. No. John 21:19. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. Okay, now that's kind of a strange statement. You know, at first glance, my death giving God glory? What? Huh? Well, hold the phone. What are you talking about? Okay, so we can't glorify. Okay, let me just calm down. God is glorious beyond glory. And that we cannot give him any glory, meaning we don't make him more beautiful than, let me say it like this, we don't make him any more beautiful than he already is. Okay, we don't do that. But when I obey God, when I honor God, when I do that tough obedience in the way I live, that is pointing to God's glory. That is pointing to a lost and dying world. That is pointing to my brothers and sisters. See how glorious and how awesome God is, you know? I'm obeying him even when I don't want to. But this is because he is so wonderful and awesome. We're pointing to God's glory. Therefore, we are giving him glory. We're pointing to a lost and dying world. Look at how awesome he is. You know, and that's when I'm obedient to the scripture, even if no one else sees it, God is like, that's my boy. That's my boy, man. Look at that. He's doing that, man. Rachel ain't even ever going to know when he's doing the right thing. You know? No one's going to ever pat him on the back, you know, but he's still doing it. Okay, and that's what we want. And so, even in the way we die, we can give God glory. And I want that. I want my death to be something that points to the goodness and grace and mercy and the wonderful God that we serve. You say, well, what are you talking about? What are you saying? Peter's death is going to give God glory. Well, you know, I've been around death. I'm around it a fair, more than I want to be, you know? I mean, I'm around people dying a few times a year, four or five times, I don't know, all the time. But there's something about the Christians, man. There's something about the believers, you know, that there's that peace. And so when the nurse sees that peace, or the unsaved loved ones see that peace, that's pointing to God. That's giving God glory, you know? That's like my buddy Jack. You guys remember Jack. He was part of this church. And, man, that cat was rough around the edges, man, you know? But he wouldn't mind me saying that. Well, he ain't here at the moment, so I already said it. But man, he wouldn't care. But, you know, the guy in the last few years of his life, he loved God. He loved God, and he was not ashamed of that fact, you know. And I would go hang out with him, you know, when I could, a couple times a month, once a week, a couple times a week as we get closer to his passing. I mean, there was no fear in the man. No fear, not because he was a tough old sailor. You know, he had been through some crazy stuff. He had served in Vietnam and all that sort of jazz. And I'm certainly not playing down that stuff. But I'm saying when you're facing your own mortality, when you realize one of these days, very, very soon, I'm not going to be here for dinner. When you're looking at that and you have that inner peace, man, that is just pointing to God. That is just showing how awesome and amazing our God is. You know, and he was able to hold his head up high as long as he could hold his head up and say, you know, it's all right, man. It's all right. He was not afraid because he had that inner peace. He knew where he was going. And that was certainly giving God glory. And when we look at the martyrs, man, talking about giving God glory in the way they died. Look at Stephen, who was praying for his torturers as he was dying. So we give God glory and honor by how we live our life, but we certainly can even give him glory by how we say goodbye to this world. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. So here's the deal. Here's the dealio, right? He's like, this is going to happen to you, Peter. All right? It's not going to be fun. All right? But this is what Jesus says. Check this out. John 21, 19, part B. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Hey, can go back that way. It's not going to really work out for you. Or you can follow me. And I promise you, I promise you there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to like you, but I'll use you to turn this world upside down for me, you know. And that's for all of us, man. You know, we need, and I'm talking to Paul, you know, I'm talking to me, obviously, but this is what the scripture was speaking to me as I was reading it. You know, as Christian folks, we do have to realize that way is, we're not missing out on anything. You know, that old world has nothing for us. You know what I mean? God's calling us to move forward in Christ Jesus, moving us to go into that deeper relationship, be willing to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him, whatever that looks like. Can I get a witness? I mean, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And look at Luke 22 and 42. We see that even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what he was facing, that the sins of all humanity was going to be placed on him, and knowing that the Father would have to look away or pull back from him for that moment in time, he says this, Jesus says this, he says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. But he says this as well, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that's the place where we got to get as Christian men and women, right? You know, it's okay to say, God, I don't know about this, man. I don't know. But you know, you see the big picture. So not my will, your will be done. And that's what we got to do. Say, God, your will be done in my life. I am created to give you glory and honor. I exist to give you glory and honor. So I say, not my will. It's not about me, but your will be done, whatever that looks like. Can we give the Lord some praise this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go to the last slide, beloved. Thank you, Jesus. And Peter's just a perfect guy for us to look at, because we have this wonderful before and after picture. You know, we see what happens when he is filled with the Holy Spirit. We see what happens after this one-on-one meeting with Jesus Christ. I mean, this guy gets fired up. And I'm talking about bold, man. He's in on the day of Pentecost, which is coming up, you know. He's in front of all these people, and he's like, "You guys killed Jesus." Okay, and man, he just lays it out step by step, man, just boldness, talking about repentance, and you guys better repent, you know. Anyways, that's a topic for another sermon pretty much. But John 21, verse 20. So this discussion continues, and we're almost done. This discussion continues. Jesus and Peter are walking along the seashore, and John the disciple that Jesus loved, that's what John always called himself. And if you read scripture, I don't want to put too much into it, but it would look like there might be a little tiny, well, because of stuff like this, there might be a little tiny bit of rivalry, you know, just a little friendly rivalry, disciple rivalry between John and Peter, maybe just a little bit here. But they're walking down the shore, I presume walking down the shore, they're certainly walking. And John the disciple, John the apostle, is a couple steps back, just kind of maybe waiting for his turn to talk to Jesus. But he's following, man. You know, he's following the discussion. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" All this is being said. John is the actual author of the book of John, and what he's saying here, and he's just making sure you understand who this is. All right. Verse 21. When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Now remember the context of the conversation. Jesus just said, "Follow me. There's going to be some tough stuff, man. You're going to have to lay down your life for me, but this is the road that I've got picked out for you, okay? And your death is going to give me glory and honor." And so Peter's just soaking all this stuff in. He sees John. You know, John, he's like, "What about him? What about that guy? You know, the one that's always up next to you, leaning on you and all that. What about this guy?" Jesus said, "Now listen. This is super important for all of us." Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" Okay, it's pretty cool. Jesus saying, if I want that guy to live forever, if I want him to live till I return, what is that to you, Peter? What's that got to do with you? What's that got to do with the price of tea in China, man? You know, this is what he says. "Until I come, what is that to you?" He says again, you, Peter, you, Paul, you, Mary, you follow me. You follow me. Don't worry about what I got planned for him. He's got his own journey. You guys are, you're both going to be serving me. And don't look at your neighbor and say, "Well, his life is so much easier than mine," or "his kids learned to tie their shoe when they were in their mother's womb," or whatever, you know. You know, we can look at other people and say, "Man, they got it so easy. God plays favorites. This guy hasn't had any trouble in his life at all. Look at that. He gets his food delivered to him at the front door." Yeah. Because people do that sometimes. It's the same thing. Just serve God. Just serve Jesus. Don't worry about what's going on with other people, okay? You may just have a big old plank in your eye, and we get so worried about the speck in somebody else's eye, you know? And God says, "Hey, work on yourself. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Okay, let me clarify that. We don't work to be saved, okay, but we need to take this walk seriously and focus on our journey and saying, "I'm a saved person. I need to live this life that God has laid out for me. I need to be obedient to Scripture," John 14, verse 15. "If you love me, if I love God, I'm going to do the things that he commands. And I don't need to be sidetracked by thinking about how someone else has got it better than me, or their church is fancier or whatever." Man, don't listen to that nonsense. Don't get involved in that nonsense. You have your own walk, and God says, "You work that out with me. You follow me." Amen? That's what he's telling Peter. Don't worry about that dude. Don't worry about him. Be worried about yourself. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 22. This is our last verse. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 22. This is the Apostle Paul. And if you're doing the Victory Life reading program monthly, this month, this new month, we're going to be reading 1 and 2 Corinthians, which are very, very good books. But anyways, 1 Corinthians 7 and 22. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a free man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. Now, that's kind of some confusing stuff, but if we break it down, we can figure it out together. So it's like this, man. What if you were a slave? What if you were a slave? Because that was certainly going on back then. It's a little different or a lot different than the kind of slavery that we picture in our mind as Americans and what was going on in North America in the previous centuries and in Europe. This was a different type of slavery. People would put themselves into slavery. They'd say, hey, let me work for you. You feed me. You take care of me. All right. This is something I need to do. My life's a mess right now. People would put themselves into slavery. Okay. And they would become a bondservant. Okay. So anyways, what the Apostle Paul is saying, if you were a slave or a bondservant when you found Christ, don't see yourself as a slave anymore. You are free. Okay. And the Apostle Paul does say, if you're a slave, man, work on getting your freedom, man. You don't want to live that way. Get out of that if at all possible. But see, what he's saying is, you might see yourself, the old guy, you might see yourself as this slave or this bondservant, but now you're free. You're free in the Lord. Look at it like this. I was a slave to sin, which means I was the power of sin had a lot of authority over me. I had to do what it said. 9 times out of 10, he had a lot of power over me. And the penalty of that sin, I was still going to have to pay for. But then when I accepted Christ, that penalty was paid for way back at the cross. I am free of that bondage. I am no longer an enemy of the Lord, the creator of the universe. So he's saying, hey, you might be a slave in the natural, but you're free. You're free. Don't think of yourself as a slave. But it continues. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a free man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. And he's saying, you guys that were free men, that you weren't a bondservant, you weren't a slave, you when you got saved, now consider yourself a bondservant of Christ, because that is what you are. Now, you belong to Christ. He is your ruler. You are a subordinate to him. You do what he says. You pick up your cross. You follow him wherever that leads you. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord some praise. Father God, we just love you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings and your peace and your strength and your joy and your healing power, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, in every area of our lives, Lord. Thank you that we hunger for the word of God. We hunger to be your obedient servant, Lord. We love you and we praise you. And thank you for just getting us riled up for you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.